Matthew chapter 15. And the text for this evening is that verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David, my daughter, is grievously vexed with the devil. Here was a mother basically crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, save my daughter. In this incident that we have read about this evening, we find the Lord visiting one of those locations that he only visited once during his earthly public ministry. The people of Tyre and Sidon had only one opportunity to see and to meet with Christ. He would visit that place and that area, and there he would work a miracle, and then he would return from whence he came. Just one visit only. It would appear that the Savior went from Capernaum to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Capernaum. The Lord had made that his base, as it were. He dwelt there. There, that's where he dwelt during his public ministry. And so from Capernaum, located on the north west side of Galilee, he made his way to this place, the borders of Tyre and Sidon. With regard to the place, we learn that it was a heathen place. They really had no time for the Lord there. There were a hard-hearted, cold people who dwelt there, that place, the borders of Tyre and Sidon. We know that from the Lord's own words. You go back to Matthew chapter 11. And there in Matthew 11 and verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. The Lord says in verse 22, But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. In other words, Chorazin and Bethsaida had seen the Lord many times and witnessed his miracle working power and listened to his preaching, but they remained cold and hard hearted. But here was Tyre and Sidon, they didn't have those privileges. They remained in their sin. And no such privileges were afforded to them. And the Lord said it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. We notice not only was it a heathen place, didn't know much about the Lord or about the gospel, but it's interesting to note that there was a home in that place. You turn over to Mark in chapter 7. And here's Mark's account. You read in Mark 7 and verse 24. There in verse 24 we read, And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Something really is quite remarkable. As we have seen, the place there at the border of Tyre and Sidon did not know much about the Lord. Was not familiar with the gospel or of his miracle working power. And yet, we find that there was one house in that place where the Lord was able to enter, where the Lord was welcome. The Lord was welcome in at least one house in that area there, borders of Tyre and Sidon. This is an ungodly world. And even when we look at our own town, I wonder how many homes would welcome Christ. I wonder how many homes would open their doors and receive the Savior. Out of the 16 or 18,000 of the population, I think sadly would have to say very few. But here was one home that welcomed Christ. So it was a heathen place. And there was a home in this place where the Lord was welcome. You notice also it was a hiding place. We are told what the Lord wanted in going to that place. We've just read there Mark 7 and verse 24. He went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into the house and would have no man know it. He would have no man know it. He didn't want people to know that he was there. Now, in the eyes of some, people might think that's a strange thing for the Lord. Because we as individuals, as believers, we are to make Christ known. But here the Lord went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a home, and he says he would have no man know it. It was a hiding place. Now we may ask ourselves why. Why did the Lord go there? And why did he want to be hidden there and have no man know it? I believe the answer is over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. We read in verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Here the Lord was very thoughtful, as usual. The disciples had been busy going here and there and yonder, teaching and preaching. And the Lord then said to them, come ye apart and rest a while. Why? Because there was a great deal of coming and going, and they didn't have time even to sit down and eat. Well, the Lord Jesus, as we know, wherever he went, he had multitudes following him. Multitudes surrounding him. Could it be that that's why he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon initially? To hide. To rest a while. Away from the multitudes. He went there, of course, to meet with this woman, that he might perform a miracle on her behalf. But he went there and would have no man know. He went there to hide from the multitudes for a season, for a while. He came apart himself to rest a while. But then it says, it was not possible. But we then read, but he could not, be hid. For a certain woman, his young daughter, had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. I want, first of all, this evening to consider the mother. This mother had a burden which many mothers have today. She had a young daughter over which I'm sure she had shed many tears, was the cause of many sleepless nights. And here we see regarding this mother, the mother and the report. It's not surprising that the Savior could not be hid. Because we are told in Mark 7, verse 25, for or because, he could not be hid for or because a certain woman, his young daughter, had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Here we have an action on the part of this mother that we have seen before, that we have witnessed before. You go back to Mark 5. And there in Mark 5 and the verse 27, we considered this other woman there last week. And we are told in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Mark the words again. When she had heard of Jesus, what did she do? She came. When she heard of Christ, she came to him. And here we read, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came. Same thing again. And we have pointed out before, many, many people hear about Christ and are told about Christ, but they never come. They're presented with the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they never come to him. But here we read of two women, and there are others. When they heard about the Lord, they didn't need to be told a second time. And this woman heard, so she had been given the report, that the Lord Jesus was there and he was in a certain house. And so she came. I'm sure that woman, that dear mother, was glad that somebody has spoken to her about the Lord. Somebody had witnessed to her and told her about the Lord Jesus. We're thankful when people witness to others and tell them about the Lord. And they're even more thankful when that witness bears fruit. You turn to John chapter 1. Here's a witness that certainly bore fruit. John 1, verse 40. One of the two, that is, that went with Jesus, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew and Simon, Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon. First thing he did, when he met with Christ, the first thing he did, he went to his own brother Simon and saith unto him, here's his witness, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. His witness bore fruit. He brought his brother to Christ. What a blessing that is. And what a blessing that was for Andrew And we read then verse 42, when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation of stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. Here's another witness. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him. He witnessed to Nathanael about Christ. Found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And each one of these men became disciples of the Lord. Through that witness. Look at the number of times the word found is mentioned. For we read in verse 41, we have found the Messiah. In 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him. And these men went and found individuals and witnessed to them about the Lord. We have found the Messiah. They went and found their brother and told them, We have found the Messiah. There's a great example for us to follow. Find a soul. Witness to them about the Lord. Tell them about Christ. As I said, you never know what it will lead to. Commit your witness to the Lord. And who knows? You may have somebody in heaven whom you witnessed to. And because of your witness, they were won for Christ. As well as the report of this mother, we notice her recognition. We look again at Matthew 15. So there we read in Matthew 15, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, thy son of David, my daughter, is grievously vexed with a devil. Matthew here records the words of the mother regarding her daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Mark, according to Mark, she also said in asking the Lord to cast forth the devil out of her daughter. In other words, the mother recognized what it was that was troubling her daughter. She recognized that it was the devil. It was the devil that was ruining the life of this young girl. Because we read again in Matthew 15, verse 22, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed. She's grievously vexed, and the mother recognized why she was grievously vexed. It was the devil. The devil was destroying and ruining her life. The mother recognized the cause of her daughter's troubles. How many mothers have suffered a broken heart because the devil has ruined and destroyed the life of a daughter? Drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, disrespect, rock music, wicked, the list is endless. And these are all instruments of the devil to destroy the lives of young people today. And what does our government do? They go and legalize the drugs. Legalize marijuana. Talk about a crazy, harebrained idea. Will you see how the rate of accidents go up now? The number of people killed on the roads go up now. And the number of lives that are ruined now. Will you see? It's an instrument of the devil. And this mother recognized it. She recognized what was at the heart of her daughter's troubles. It was the devil. The world, of course, is the devil's playground. And he hides the snares in this playground and snares young people today and brings them down and ruins their lives. As we read in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Yeah, I know that was a word to believers. It's a good word for all. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. We're all familiar with the story of the prodigal son, the young man who's known as the prodigal son. He got a bit restless at home. He wanted to leave home. And one day went to his father and asked his father for all that belonged to him. And we're told then that he took all that he had, all his goods, all the money that he had. Where'd he go? He went to a far country. Away from the eyes of his father. As far away as he could. Of course, we know the story. He thought he was going there and he was going to have a great time. He spent all his money in riotous living. And where did he end up? He ended up eating the food that was given to swine. Devil's a hard taskmaster. The devil had ruined that young man's life, brought him down so low. He was there with the pigs. Devil hasn't changed. He's still ruining lives. Still painting the world as a great place to be. And here this young, or this mother, saw what the devil was doing to her daughter. We have her report and her recognition, then you have her request. In light of the sorry plight of her daughter, this mother, for her there was only one thing that she could do. One thing. And when she had heard about Christ, that one thing was to go to the Lord Jesus. It's all she could do. There was nobody else there that could help her. And we read in Mark 7, verse 26, she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. That was her request. I want you to notice regarding her request. This mother was diligent. Seeing the state of her daughter, the state that her daughter was in, she went to the only person who could help. Now, she didn't seek the help of a psychiatrist. She sought the help of the Lord. He had come to that area. He was in a certain house. And she sought him out. She was diligent. And here is an example for all mothers, indeed fathers also. Where a daughter or a son has gone astray, there's really only one person that we can go to, and that's to Christ. There's only one person we'll be able to reach them and retrieve them and bring them home. And that's the Lord. Only one person who really fully understands and knows what the problem is. Only one person who can solve that problem. Only one person who can rescue that child. And that one person is the Lord. So let that mother seek the Lord for her daughter. That father seek the Lord for her son. And that's certainly what one father did regarding his son. Here we have the example of a mother. You go over to Mark. We have there the example of a father. And he did the same thing. And there we read in Mark chapter 9. Mark 9 and verse 17. The Lord has been up the Mount of Transfiguration. He's coming down now, or has come down with his disciples, and there's a great crowd gathered there round the disciples who remained at the bottom of the mountain. And what was it all about? We read in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Elsewhere we're told he had a devil. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithful, generous generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. The Lord wanted to know, how long had this been going on? Look at the next verse, 22. And oft times he had cast him into the fire and into the waters. What to do? To destroy him. I tell you, the devil hasn't changed. He's still destroying young people, the lives of young people. And only the Lord can help. Only the Lord can bring deliverance, as he did to the son of that father, and as he eventually did to this mother's daughter. The father found help and hope and healing for his son when he came to Christ, when he brought the son to the Lord. And in our prayers, that's what we do. We bring our children to the Lord. She was diligent. She was determined. How burdened this mother was for her daughter can be seen in how determined she was to get to Christ and have her daughter healed or saved. Once again, Mark chapter 7. Now we read in Mark 7 and verse 24. He went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, entering into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hidden. Now watch these words. He entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid, for or because a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. You know what those words mean? Those words mean that she came. In other words, she entered into the house where the Lord was. That's how determined she was. And in Bible times, a person did not need to be invited into a house. If they were passing by, they could enter in. Well, here, the Savior was in this certain house, and the woman didn't wait for her to be invited. She entered into the house. She came and fell at his feet. see. Her burden was so great, she was so determined. She had such a burden for her daughter that nothing, but nothing, would stand in her way. Nothing would stand in her way. She would have to get to Christ, and she would have to bring her daughter to the Lord in prayer. That's what she did, she prayed. Does this remind us of another woman? They did the same thing. Did exactly the same thing. We read back there in Luke's Gospel. In verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet. What did she do? She entered the house too. She did the same thing. No, she wasn't going to wait to be invited. She had to get to the feet of Christ, and she entered the Pharisee's house uninvited. It was enough for her that the Lord was there. And for this woman who sought the Lord regarding her young daughter, it was enough for her that the Lord was in the house. And whether it was to worship the Lord or to wait upon the Lord, she was going to get there. She was going to bring her young daughter to the Lord. She was determined. How determined are we to see our loved ones saved? Better to show the determination of this mother rather than when it's too late to say to herself, I wish I had done more. I wish I had prayed more. We notice something here. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She besought. You've come across that word often. The word besought means to call to one's side. It means to call to one's aid. So there you have the picture. This mother had nobody else to turn to. And she called, she besought the Lord, and the meaning of the word is, she asked the Lord to come to her side. She asked the Lord to come to her aid. She evidently was a lonely mother. She was the one who had the burden for her. And she needed help. And she besought the Lord, come to my side. Come and comfort me. Come and help me. Come and save my daughter. Come to my aid. How great is our desire for the soul to be saved? That can be measured by our determination to get to Christ and to pray. That he would come to her aid and save that soul. You'll notice the mother. Next we consider the master. So this mother presented her case to the Lord. But notice, first of all, the Lord's silence. The Lord's silence, back there in Matthew 15. She has cried out, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed by the devil. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. There's a silence. He answered her not a word. We have already learned today, this morning, the morning message, that the Lord has told us that we will never seek him in vain. He's told us that. And yet, here we have a heartbroken mother seeking the Lord, crying out to him, yet he answered her not a word. It was as if he hadn't heard her, or as if he had not, or he had ignored her. Now we know the Lord doesn't do those things. So there must have been a reason why the Lord answered her not a word. How often have we experienced that, especially when praying for the salvation of loved ones? We have prayed, we have besought the Lord, and cried to him to save that son, daughter, husband, wife, mother, father. And as yet, he's answered us not a word. We're still waiting for an answer. So there must be a reason. There must have been a reason why the Lord did not answer this woman when she cried out to him. She had shown determination. And the Lord answered her not a word to make her even more determined, so that she would either go home, she would go home disheartened, or she would pray on. That was the choice she had. He answered her not a word. What was she going to do? Give up there and then? Or would she pray on? Well, when the Lord doesn't answer our prayers immediately, we can do one of two things. We can give up or pray on. Now what the Lord has taught us lately? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask, go on asking. Seek, go on seeking. Knock, go on knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. That was the lesson the Lord was teaching this woman. As well as the Lord's silence, we notice here the Lord's servants. And sadly, the Lord's servants did not come out of this in a very good light. Unfortunately, these disciples demonstrated in just a few words how unlike the Savior they were. Matthew 15. A woman has cried out, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Was that not a very cruel thing to say? Send her away. She crieth after us. Well, they were mistaken. The woman didn't cry after them. She cried after one person, the Lord. Yet the disciples said, she crieth after us. In other words, the disciples really couldn't be bothered with her. But like that time, the mothers brought their children to Christ. And the disciples rebuked those mothers that brought them. What did the Lord do? The Lord did the very opposite. He took those children up in his arms, put his hands upon them. The disciples were so unlike the Lord. And here the disciples said, "Oh, send her away." Of course, they've done that before. You go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away.'" That was their answer to the problem. The multitude needed to be fed, and instead of looking to the Lord, the disciples said, "Oh, send the multitude away." The disciples obviously did not have the heart of Christ. I want you to notice something else here regarding these disciples. Matthew 15, verse 23. "And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him." Underline the word besought. Besought him. Remember what we said? The word besought, what it means? To call to one side, to call out for aid, for help. His disciples came and besought him. Now go over to Mark chapter 7. And look at verse 26. "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." Same word that was used to describe the mother when she cried out to the Lord to come and help her. The disciples used the same strong word. The disciples besought the Lord to send her away. As we said, it does not put the disciples in a very good light. This dear woman besought the Lord to come and help her. And the disciples besought the Lord to send her away. She was determined to have the Lord come and save her daughter. And the disciples were just as determined to send the Lord away. Just as determined. Instead of looking to the Lord. She wanted the Lord to come alongside her and come to her aid. The disciples instead wanted the Lord to send her away. Send her away with a broken heart, just as the disciples wanted the Lord to send the multitude away hungry. Of course, that's something the Lord would never do. He was not for sending this woman away broken heart. This would surely challenge us to strive to be more like the Savior and less like the disciples. As we often sing, "I want, dear Lord, a heart as true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine. Lord, give me a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart that's white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this one. Give me a heart that feels your soul and the needs that they have." The Lord's silence, the Lord's servants, and the Lord's statement. Here, replying to the disciples, the men, to the mother, the Lord reminded all that he had come, first of all, to the Jewish people. Is not what he was saying there. They said, "Send her away," and she cried after us. But he answered, verse 24 in Matthew 15, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm sent unto the Jews. I wasn't sent primarily unto the Gentiles. This woman was a Gentile. But whether she was a Jew or a Gentile, as we will see, the Lord had compassion on her. And the Lord did deliver her daughter. What a wonderful Savior we have. Doesn't matter what we are, who we are, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor. When we cry out to the Lord, He'll hear us. When we cry out to the Lord, He will help us. So we have seen the Mother and the Master. That leads us now to the miracle. At her first request, we are told, the Lord answered her not a word. Did she give up? No. This would encourage all mothers and fathers when they're praying for their children. Don't give up. Don't give up. In her first, we have here then her asking. Comparing the two petitions, we notice a difference. First of all, verse 22, she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." He answered her not a word, but she didn't give up. She came again to the Lord in verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." So she prayed again. She didn't give up. Notice the difference. In the first petition, she put herself first. "Have mercy on me, Lord." The second petition, verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord," put the Lord first. "Lord, help me." Paul says that in all things he must have the preeminence. When we come to pray, the Lord must come first. We of course understand the feeling of this mother. "Help me." The pain that she saw in her daughter. She was suffering pain as well. Just like that father came with his son. "Help us." The mother and father, when they see their children going astray and suffer for it, mom and dad feel it too. And notice there in that second petition, then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Just three words. Three words. When a person is desperate, they'll cry out. And maybe they'll not say too many words. They'll cry out, "Lord, help me. Lord, heal me." What did Peter cry when he was walking on the water and suddenly began to sink? He didn't have a long convoluted prayer there as he was sinking. What did he cry? He cried, "Lord, save me." Three words. Why? Because he was desperate. And sometimes we come to that place where we're just desperate. This mother was desperate. And she just cried out to the Lord. Those three words, "Lord, help me." You have her asking, you have also her argument. Referring to the words of the Savior when he spoke about the Jews and the Gentiles, the Lord referred to the Gentiles, and he wasn't insulting them when he said this. He was referring to the Gentiles as the dog, the master's dog. The thought here is of a dog under the table. The dog may sit on the table. In other words, the family dog, the family animal. And the Lord likened the table and those who sat around the table, they're the Jews. And the Lord said the Gentiles are like that dog under the table. Well, the woman took up that argument. And she said, "But Lord, sometimes the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table that the Jews sit around. And here am I, a Gentile, and I'm like the family dog, but the dog is there to lick up the crumbs that fall from the table." And this woman was really saying, by me meeting thee today, it's like me gathering the crumbs from the Jews' table. The Lord came on to his own. We know that his own received him not, and the gospel was then given to the Gentiles. But this woman is saying, by the fact, Lord, that thou art here today, yes, I may be like the family dog, but I've been able to gather some crumbs. You've come to evangelize and save the Jews, but in so doing, you pass by this Gentile. And so she cried out to the Lord, "Lord, help me." It was like a dog lapping up a crumb. She hadn't given up. She hadn't given up. She'd taken this argument and used it in her prayer. And then you have, as well as the argument and her asking, you have her answer. She received an answer to her prayers. We read there in Mark 7. There in the verse 29, and he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. The Lord had answered her prayer, and the Lord had honored her praying, and had honored her argument, because the Lord had told her and commended her for her great faith. For because of the same, because of what she had said, he honored what she had said. In Matthew 15 and verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. There's the miracle. The Lord didn't have to go to the house. The Lord willed her healing. He wasn't there to touch her, to lay his healing hand upon her. He willed her healing. Her, the mother's determination had been rewarded, and her prayers had been answered. "Lord, save my daughter." Well, that's what he did. Because of the determination and the faith and the praying of this mother, nothing was going to stand in her way. That'd be the same of us. May we pray, and when the Lord answers us not a word, let's not give up. There's a reason for it. Andrew Bonner used to say, the Lord doesn't answer our prayers immediately to keep us the longer in his presence. He answered her not a word, but she kept on praying. Let us do the same. May the Lord receive that daughter. Let's bow in prayer. The loving God and eternal Father, we thank thee for the encouragement we receive from thy truth. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast encouraged us through this word to pray on, not to give up. Man, not always to pray, not to faint, not to give up. Lord, keep us at it. Keep us praying. May we be diligent and be determined to see that loved one saved, to see that loved one brought into the kingdom, to see that loved one brought under the blood. And Lord, thou didst answer this woman's prayer. Surely, Lord, thou will answer that. O Lord, be with us throughout this week. Do us good. Keep us in our going out and coming in. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.